Hi everybody, thanks for joining us for this episode of the GovCon video blog. So last May, the SBA published its much anticipated final rule on certifications for its Women-Owned Small Business, or WOSB program. Now, ever since the 2015 National Defense Authorization Act required women-owned small businesses to be certified by federal or state agencies or by third-party certifiers, we've known that the days in which companies could self-certify under the WOSB program were numbered. But it wasn't until May of 2019 that the SBA finally published a proposed rule setting out the procedures for how companies could obtain WOSB certification. Now, we put out a vlog in the summer of 2019 covering a few aspects of the certification procedures that the SBA proposed. But in the final rule that the SBA published last May, the SBA not only included some clarifications to the certification rules that it proposed, it also made a few changes to them. And we want to go briefly over those changes today. So today, we're going to go over three things that contractors should know about the SBA's final rule on WOSB certifications. The first thing that contractors should know is that under the final rule, they can use their 8A, VLB, and SDVOSB certifications to prove eligibility for WOSB certification. So we will probably put out a webinar covering in more detail the WOSB program, but for now, as far as eligibility, there are three general requirements for WOSB certification. First, the business must be small. Second, it must be at least 51% unconditionally and directly owned by one or more women who are U.S. citizens. And third, it must be controlled also by one or more women who are U.S. citizens. Now, to be eligible as an economically disadvantaged women-owned small business, or EDWOSB, there's an additional requirement, and that is that the women must be economically disadvantaged. Now, the proposed rule allowed contractors to submit evidence of their state DBE certifications, and the preamble to the rule suggested that hub zone certifications might also be used to demonstrate eligibility. But ultimately, the SBA omitted these certifications as evidence that contractors could use to prove eligibility. So in the final rule, a business can submit evidence of SDVOSB and VLB certification, along with evidence that it is owned and controlled by one or more women, or one or more economically disadvantaged women, in order to prove WOSB or EDWOSB eligibility. A business can also use 8A certification, along with evidence that it is owned and controlled by one or more women, in order to prove it is an EDWOSB. The second thing the contractors should know is that under the final rule, any contractors that have been declined for certification can reapply after 90 days. Now, as we mentioned in our first vlog covering the proposed rule, initially the SBA included procedures that allowed companies that were declined to request a redetermination or reconsideration by the SBA or the third-party certifier. And these procedures were important because the declined contractor faced a one-year cooling-off period during which they couldn't reapply for certification. Well, in the final rule, the SBA eliminated any right of a contractor to seek a redetermination or reconsideration of a decision to decline an application. Instead, the SBA now allows contractors to remedy their applications and just reapply 90 days after the decline. The third thing the contractors should know about the final rule is that contractors now have to represent annually to the SBA that they meet WOSB and EDWOSB eligibility criteria. Now, in the proposed rule, certified companies were required to recertify their eligibility every 3 years. but there are a few comments that were submitted to the SBA complaining that the 3 years was too long and suggesting that companies should be required to recertify annually. Well, the SBA struck a middle ground and decided to follow the same approach that it uses for HubZone recertifications. So under the final rule, WOSB and EDWOSBs still have to recertify only every 3 years, but now they also have to submit representations to the SBA annually that they remain eligible for the program. Well, that's all I have for today's log. Thanks for joining me, and please come back for future episodes of the GovCon video blog.